Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Good. So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Well, December 1st, we are here. Christmas approaching. We have already the candle lit. We have the beautiful decoration around, and we all could sing songs about Christmas. And we are starting the new series celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. So many people might raise interesting questions about Christmas. They might make remarkable statements and sometimes wrong assumptions about it and about Jesus. A few we know don't care at all about it, and one can live without Christmas, without Christ, but cannot die without Him. Because Christmas is the hope for the salvation of the world. We will begin a new series of 5 messages on Christmas through the eyes of someone like Joseph, Elizabeth, Harold, Mary, and us. So to see Christmas through someone's eyes may and should not change the history of it. It's the birth of our Savior, but could give you a new perspective, a new sense, a new taste, a new savory of it. We might eat the same things, but with a different spirit. So this is why this series is coming about, to give us the same old story, beautiful, marvelous, with new senses, with our own experience. And we hope during this Christmas series, you'll be able to celebrate, understand, live, and cherish Christmas as never before, as it's meant to be. Some weeks, perhaps not today, we may see more on the emotional side of it. Mary, for instance, expressed the news, the good tidings of good news, with very emotional, beautiful song, Magnificat song by her, probably in tears of happiness, fears, and so on. But Joseph, whatever feelings he had, he held it. It reminded me a few guys out here. I was thinking about tough guys who work hard and actually has helped me a lot in my home, such as Nigel has put so much work in my home, or even Tim Grant has put works. Steve has done a lot for my kitchen in the past. Zach, and I cannot forget Andy, our real carpenter. So all those people are hands-on. They are people I've seen working hard, people getting their job done. And most of the times you don't hear or see their feelings. They probably have it. Maybe their wives, moms, they see it, they share it, but we don't. They are just, oh, let's keep moving. It hurt. It's difficult. Let's move on. And so this is Joseph, probably a man of trade, a man who learned the trade of a carpenter, a man who taught his kid the same skills. And here is a resolute man, quiet, probably like these men. They get their coffee and say, let's get the job done. This is Joseph. Of course, there is a man of feeling behind the scenes, but we may try to see it, but probably we're going to more read the stories, what happened, what the text says. So with no further ado, let us read from the Bible in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1, 17, until the verses 25. So let me get my glasses here. Comes an age that you need this guy. And I love to read from the Bible. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, son of Abraham. Jump to 17. Therefore, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Heavenly Father, once more we approach your throne. I come before you and all of us in awe of Christmas. What amazing action you did in our history. What immense act of love you realized through this story and to humanity. It is a privilege, it's a blessing to think about it. Help me as your instrument to speak well, properly, with fear, for the most amazing birth we have ever had on this earth. With the forgiveness of our sins, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, when we celebrate the birth at Jesus at Christmas time, our attention is most often given to Luke's account because it gives us so much information of it. In Luke, not in Matthew, we're going to see the announcement of the angel Gabriel to the young Mary. It includes the story of the shepherds as well as the infant's hymns sung as Magnificat by Mary, Benedictus by Zechariah, the Gloria in Excelsis by the angels, and Nunc Dimittis by Simeon. All songs expressing the beauty, the marvelous act of God on those annunciations. Matthew's version, though, is very brief. It's briefer in his account, at least from the viewpoint of Joseph, wherever Luke comes from the point of view of Mary. Matthew wrote his gospel in a way that he had no opportunity to interview Joseph, what Luke had. But we can see here the miraculous conception of Jesus that is related in how Joseph discovered it. So, R.T. France says, Matthew provides merely the basic facts of Jesus' birth, the visit of the Magi and his family geographic movements, only so far as needed to show the historical application of his chosen scripture text and theological implications. So Matthew is more interested in the purpose and the truth and the theological aspects of it. So that brings us to this idea. What are we talking about today? What is Christmas in the eyes of Joseph? Christmas is a historical, extraordinary, supernatural, and scripture fulfillment which bring hopes to all who believes. So this is Christmas. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's a historical event that nobody can deny it. Even when you go to the Gospels, you're going to see the history of Rome in here. You're going to see August Caesar, Tiberius. You're going to see all the historical facts. And there was when Jesus was born. So it was historical, extraordinary, supernatural, and a fulfillment of the scripture. So this is the first step we're going to learn today in order to celebrate and to share our Christmas. So you are a little behind. Keep going. That's it. So now let's go. Historically, God has spoken through history. This is what we saw here. Our text begins with, this is the genealogy of the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Therefore, there were 14 generations, and he lists three of those with a purpose. Abraham to David, David to Babylon, Babylon to the exile, and then to the Messiah. So this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Interesting, the word genealogy started in Matthew, comes from the word Genesis, origin, same as the word was created. So in other words, is how this was Jesus come to be, how he become, how he happens. Jesus came to be. As a son, he incarnated in Jesus. He becomes the son of Joseph and Mary, but he was the son of God. He had a place and a time. And the place and a time that Matthew puts is in a framework of history rather than mythology. It didn't happen time and place. Abraham to David, David to the Messiah. The historians in German, for instance, would say the history of salvation. There is a history of salvation. It started in Genesis and go into the second advent in Revelation. And in Abraham, we see the covenant of blessing. When we say that Jesus comes from Abraham, it is supposed to be that Jesus comes, that all families can be blessed in his name. When we see about David, through David and through Joseph, we see the royal line as promised, as prophesied, but not only to the nobles. When you see how David became a king, we see a peasant, you see Ruth. So there is a history of corrections, ongoing miracles of the Lord. And the New Testament shows us Jesus as same as Joseph, the son of David. Same title given to Joseph. For Jesus to be the son of David in this category, he needs to come from Joseph's lineage. That's why the angel says to Joseph, Joseph, son of David. Joseph, interestingly, historically came from Judah. Leah, Jacob's wife, he didn't come from Rachel that he loved the most, but he came from Leah. He didn't come from the firstborn. So God has a purpose. He's orchestrating everything. And according to the prophecies we're going to see later, Jesus, through Joseph, through David has to come to this lineage. So Joseph came from Judah, not from Rachel or even the firstborn. Amazingly, Joseph's lineage does not write, or you don't read names like Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, or Rachel. You don't see those names. But on purpose of Matthew, what we see? We see names of women that normally we wouldn't talk about. We would hide in our families. All those things that happens in our family, and like Las Vegas, it stays in the family. You know? Kids that were born outside marriage. Guys who have two or three wives, and now they are pretty married. Everybody knows only the last one. Things that happens in the family stays in the family. But Matthew decides to write those names instead of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel. What names he brings? Tamar, who slept with Judah and got Paris. Rahab, we know her story, how God used in the salvation of Israel and the walls of Jericho, but we know her past was a little suspicious. Ruth, a Moabite, who has no right, no husband. They died, and now she needs a savior. And God provided. The Bible even says Bathsheba's name, only says Uriah's wife, for reasons we know. And then Mary, a peasant lady, young lady, maybe. So we have Hebrews, Canaanite, Moabite, and a peasant girl. So this is how Matthew chose to bring us Jesus' birth. So lots of irregularities. Lots of irregular family, Matthew's family, which together God used to accomplish his will. Unapologetically, unashamedly, unrestrictedly, through Jesus Christ. In him, only through this genealogy, the history that God chose to bring Jesus, we see that we all can fit. We all can be accepted. Can you see that? I believe we can identify with that because most of us do not come from perfect families, and neither, or at least, did Jesus. Ruth, just a text to show that. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witness that I also acquire Ruth the Moabite. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offsprings the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Paris, who Tamar bore to Judah." So there was historicity. So when you believe in Jesus, you're not believing in a myth, in a fable, in a novel. You are believing in a person who lived and died and was raised and is among us and is walking around the church. It was extraordinary. God has spoken extraordinarily. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This verse does not relate to the birth yet, but explain the origin. Mary was pledged. Mary was promised to be married with Joseph. And in the light of the Hebrew customs or marriage, to be pledged means they were already individuals considered husband and wife. Husband and wife, but they are not living together. They have a contract. They already negotiated, but they should be apart. And if the lady, the virgin, would be remain virgin until the marriage, they would consummate it in a wedding. So if something would have happened there, she would be unfaithful to that, and a divorce would be with to the lady. So that's why the text brings attention here. Mary, who is pledged, is found pregnant. Maybe this found, not what she was found out. It wasn't a secret. Probably now you could see it, like a Sumarana. It's obvious. She's found out married, pregnant. And I can see that. And probably that's what's happening. Probably Joseph could already notice something is different. Maybe even before Joseph talked to her, and definitely before the angel and the dream comes to him, she is found pregnant. The power of the Lord manifests the Holy Spirit, who was expected to be active in the Messianic age, is now acting miraculously about this conception. And the father of this child is not Joseph, is not another person, is the Holy Spirit. The paternity was accomplished through the extraordinary activity of the Holy Spirit as God did it. He did it in the beginning. He didn't need any partnership with us, Adam and Eve. He just created. In this case, he did the same with Mary, even though he used Mary as a part to accomplish his salvation. So those two miracles aspects, the conception and the birth, are extraordinary. And they are part of our faith. In the Apostle Creed, we always say that we believe in the conception, virgin conception of Jesus through Mary. This conception was not natural, was extraordinary. It also was supernatural. All the events, all the promises, God has spoken supernaturally. We could say that Joseph could be called, as I said at the beginning, a calm, collect, and composed man. According to the Bible, he is a man with faith. He was faithful to the law. He was compassionate and a man with integrity. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she is conceiving is from the Holy Spirit." So Joseph was a man like any of us, but was faithful to the Lord. Joseph had a special call that most of us don't have it. He had a special call to father God's son. He had a bride. He had a lot of dreams ahead of him. Perhaps Joseph was planning the wedding, all these things, and then suddenly we see this man with a heart broken. He genuinely loved Mary, and that's why he's thinking, I have to do something about it. Maybe if I give a divorce to her, she will survive. I will take her the risk. I might jeopardize my reputation in order that she can live and she can have her son. She doesn't even want to know what's happening. He genuinely loved Mary, and yet the word came that she's pregnant. His love for her was demonstrated later on his action. He chose not to create a probably public scandal by exposing her. Such act, according to Deuteronomy, could put her to death. Probably not on those days, but would be a disgrace. But through dreams and angels from God, Joseph obediently took Mary as his wife and will raise a God's son. I don't know how would we deal with such information. Joseph had a dream, and in this dream, in the fellowship with God, he understood God's message. Joseph was reminded that he was a royal descendant in this message. Second, the angel commanded him not to fear and to take Mary as wife. Third, the angel orientated Joseph to think as how Mary became pregnant, that it is conceived from the Holy Spirit, an amazing act of God, not at all adulterous act of Mary. So Joseph was told the gender of the child. And these things only happen in special occasions when God is chosen someone for the purpose of our redemptive purposes. So you're going to have a son. And actually, he's actually give a name for this son. So Jesus was not an illegitimate child, but the savior of his people. He would not be a disgrace to the family, as it could be, but the hope of the sinners. And then, through Matthew, what we see all the accomplishment that was already prophesied. If you go in the Bible, we see hundreds of promises and prophecies about the Messiah, about this. And now it's happening. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as a wife. But he did not consummate it, their marriage, until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. So Joseph could have chose the name, but he put the name that God the Father chose for him. The Bible speaks about Jesus even before he was born as the promise. We see this in Genesis. He would be the seed of a woman. We see this in Genesis 12. He would be the descendants of Abraham. We see this in Genesis 49. He would be from the tribe of Judah. We see it in 2 Samuel. He would be the king of offspring and the heir to the throne of David. And he would come from a virgin, as Isaiah is telling the text of Matthew. So all was written to prove the historicity, to prove the fulfillment of the scripture to this extraordinary and supernatural birth and conception of Jesus. So D.A. Carson says this, Matthew 1 and 2 is not saying something vague such as, Jesus was so wonderful, there must be a touch of divine about him. But rather, Jesus is the promised Messiah of the line of David, and he is Emmanuel, God with us, because his birth was a result of God's supernatural intervention, making Jesus God's very son, and his early months were stamped with strange occurrences, such as this, such as the angels, such as the musics from heaven, such as the signs, such as the star, and so on, and also angels and dreams, concerns which in the light of the subsequent events with a coherent pattern of theological truth and historic attestation to the divine providence in the matter. So, this is what is happening in this first Christmas. A revelation of God, how to bring his son to us, historically, extraordinarily, supernaturally, and in the fulfillment of the whole scripture. It's not a feeling, it is a real. So we know, concluding, that Joseph accepted his calling. Joseph, through these dreams, and there were quite a few dreams, only 5 times already in the chapter 1 and 2, dreams, message, angels, he accepted the message. He accepted his fiancée's condition. I don't know if we would. He accepted the fact that he cannot sleep with his future wife. He held his own feelings, frustration, risk of his jeopardizing his idea of plan. We don't see here the wedding ceremony. We don't see the bride's friends or any procession of those things. We don't see anything about it. Everything has to rush. Everything has to happen in the blink of the eye. Everything is planned, and this guy is caught in the middle of his plans, but he accepts it, and he teaches it, and we have to learn with him. Perhaps he did, perhaps, no, for sure, he didn't have his honeymoon until a year later or more. We know he had it. We know he had, Jesus had 4 brothers. Their names are in the Bible, and sisters, at least 2. So probably Joseph, Mary had at least, at this time, 7 children, at least. But Joseph was patient. Joseph suffered, but he accepted with joy his calling. We don't know exactly his feelings, but we know because who he was, the way God hired him, he accepted and he fulfilled it by God's grace. Christmas does not require us a perfect family or perfect ancestor. This is what we learn through the eyes of Joseph. When I see Elaine's family, her family is much better than my family. In my family, I see my mother and 3 aunts and uncles divorced. So in my own generation, I saw a great grandparents who had 4 kids and 4 divorces. When I see my siblings, I see the same stuff. When I see my niece and nephew, I see a completely mess things happening. But we all get together on Christmas to celebrate it, and we know it's an addition or a sum of many difficult stories together. But with Joseph, we see that Christmas may not be perfect, but in God's eyes, everything is going to be perfect. Christmas can mean that something can start wrong, like Judah and Tamar, and then come Paris. Something that can remain difficult. Something that can get worse and is still being a blessing. Let's take Jesus. Jesus had a question conceptions in the eyes of many. A birth in a manger. A persecution when he is young, otherwise he will be killed, that led him to exile in Egypt. So his life was not easy. When he started his ministry, Pastor Dave, he lasted how long, how many years? 3 years. 3 years. So his ministry lasts only 3 years. Most of us are decades in ministry. And even ended with his death on the cross. But didn't stop there. He was raised and he conquers the death. Nevertheless, there is hope. So when we see Christmas, I know you're thinking the event. Some of us get very happy in the night. Many of our friends upstairs get very sad because they don't have many to celebrate. But they will be here next Sunday to be with us. What are we going to do about this story that comes from Joseph? A quiet, humble, obedient, compassionate, who took all the heaviness on him, accomplished and fulfilled God's purpose. Jesus Christ is the answer for all of us. Jesus Christ is the answer for our messy family, for our dysfunctions reality. Jesus is the answer for the war because he's the peace or the Prince of Peace. He'll come, one day he'll come. He is the Savior, he's the Emmanuel. So he came, he'll come back, but because he's the Emmanuel, he's still with us. God with us, walk with us. And he still wants to part with us. He's still knocking the door, even in Christmas time. And if you open your door, he's going to come in, enter, and eat with you. So if you haven't made his your reason for celebration, make it today. And if you have, if you know who Jesus is, if you know how he was born, how he lived, why he died, what Christmas is about, probably you understand the purpose of it. Invite others to enjoy Christmas, to celebrate Jesus. Today through the eyes of Joseph, and next week through the eyes of someone else. Enjoy this season. Invite others to celebrate the most excellent birth ever happened. And I don't know if I should say Happy Christmas, but at least I say Happy Advent of Christmas. May God bless. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, there are so much truth in it. And sometimes we feel speechless dealing with the fear and the awe of Christmas, and especially in seeing how you chose to break into our history. We thank for Joseph, calm, collect, and composed, who obediently obeyed your voice, your heavenly voice, through the angels. He took Mary, he married Mary, he raised Christian, he taught him well, he educated him for a better task he was assigned to. Make those truths reside in our hearts. Make us joyful about the birth of your Son, our Savior, Emmanuel. With the forgives our sins, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.